I'm going to call this meeting of the House Finance Committee to order and let the record reflect that the time is currently 2:40 p.m. on Wednesday, March 2nd, 2022. And present today, we've got Representative Vice Chair Ortiz, Co-Chair Merrick, Representative Rasmussen, Representative Josephson, Representative Wohl, myself, Co-Chair Foster. And as we start, folks could mute their cell phones, and at this meeting we'll hear the final subcommittee closeout reports. I think we've only got till about 3 o'clock, so we'll do as many as we can between now and then. Again, the intention is to go through subcommittee reports grouped together by the chair of the subcommittee, and I expect we'll spend about hopefully 5 minutes on each subcommittee, and legislative finance is available for questions. We'll begin with Representative Wohl. And the Department of Labor, and we'll invite Corey Ault, staff to Representative Wohl, to the table. And if you could go ahead and put yourself on the record and start right up there.
For the record, my name is Corey Ault, staff Representative Wohl, through the chair. The House Finance Budget Subcommittee for the Department of Labor and Workforce Development submits the following recommended operating budget for the FY 2023 to the House Finance Committee. We have a total of $151,534,334,300, comprising $20,087,500 worth of general funds, unrestricted general funds, $34,839,200 worth of designated general funds, $15,911,000 worth of other funds, and $80,696,600 worth of federal funds. That pays for 738 total positions, 669 of which are part-time, are full-time, 44 of which are part-time, and 25 of which are temporary. At this time, I'm going to take a few minutes to run through some of the highlights from our budget. We switched several accounts to be funded in FY23 with unrestricted general fund dollars to maintain continuity of services given last year's sweep. We rejected one of the governor's proposed amendments to eliminate a boiler and pressure vessel inspector one position at a cost of $88,300. We declined a request to reduce funding to the Wage and Hour Administration's printing activities by $48,200. We added $1.7 million in authority for the Alaska Workforce Investment Board to accommodate anticipated increased federal grant receipts in FY23. And we added an additional wage and hour inspector at a cost of $100,000. The subcommittee recommends that the Wage and Hour Administration not proceed with its plan to shift information about wage and hour law from mandated printed posters at workplaces and job sites to online availability, such that workers are confronted with that information every day as opposed to needing to go and seek that information out. And at this time, I'll take your questions.
Okay, any questions for Department of Labor? And Mr. Ault, you said that the overall, when you include both what the subcommittee did as well as what the governor did, it's an increment of $20 million, which is a 12% increase. Mm-hmm. And then you looked at some of the items below, some of them smaller. What's the biggest portion of that $20 million?
Yeah, so the increase in general fund dollars comes mostly from the fund swaps that we did because after the sweep last year, a lot of these individual accounts within the department are now empty, and so without switching those to general fund dollars, that would just be hollow authority.
I see. Thank you. Any questions on Department of Labor? I see none, so we'll go ahead and move over to the Department of Administration.
For the record, Ashley Carrick, staff to Representative Wohl. The Department of Administration subcommittee met six times during the course of the session, and I'll start with the fund totals and the position counts and then go over a couple of our highlights. So our unrestricted general fund total was $71,442,100. Our DGF, or designated general funds, is $29,022,600. Our other funds were $205,371,000, and federal funds was $1,312,500, for a total in the Department of Administration of $307,148,200. This represents a 3.9% increase from the FY22 adjusted base. Additionally, the department has 1,245 permanent full-time positions, as well as 7 part-time and 25 temporary positions, for a total count of 1,277 positions in the Department of Administration. As a part of the actions of our subcommittee, we had a couple of highlights. First, we finalized the statewide consolidation efforts for accounts payable and travel expenses under the Shared Services of Alaska allocation for a total of $586,400. We also added a department technology officer position. This is for the newly created or newly proposed Department of Family and Community Services. We also declined, at the request of the department, authority to accept federal grant monies for grants that the department did not receive in the Office of Public Advocacy, and so that was a total of $550,000. We added funding to support 4 more positions in the Public Defender Agency at a total of $428,700, and that was to address increased sex crime caseloads. And we also provided some receipt authority to spend $400,000 for a new lease office space in Fairbanks for the Division of Motor Vehicles. And the last thing was a member amendment from Representative Wohl to add $1.5 million in radio grants for rural radio stations in public broadcasting. And then finally, we had an additional subcommittee recommendation based on our discussion that the department provide a plan to produce driver's licenses within the state of Alaska and avoid the need to send any personal data overseas for license preparation, which is something the department had committed to doing in the past, but they still haven't provided a plan, so we just recommended that the department do that in this coming year.
Thank you. I think we're all missing page 2 of the report. Shannon, would you be so kind as to get everybody the second page? But I think there weren't a lot of items there, and one of them being public radio was one that stood out. And other than that, I don't know if anybody has any questions on any of the other items. So seeing no questions, we'll get that second page to everyone, and we can always come back to this if anybody has any questions once we get that second page. But we'll go ahead and jump over to the university. Ms. Kirk?
All right, so good to be back. Gotten to see a lot of everyone today, which is great. So for the University of Alaska, we were able to meet 4 times as a subcommittee of the whole. I'll start with fund totals and positions again, and then go over a couple of the highlights from our subcommittee process. So first of all, the unrestricted general fund total is $285,219,400. The DGF, or designated general funds, is $309,490,300. Other funds is $75,116,100. And there are also $187,225,900 in federal funds. This brings a total for the University of Alaska's budget to $857,051,700, or a 4.6% increase between the FY22 adjusted base. There are also, in the University of Alaska, 3,759 permanent full-time positions, 185 part-time positions, and 0 temporary positions for a total of 3,944 positions with the university. During our subcommittee process, we took the following major actions. First, we consolidated all the university allocations into a single appropriation. This is per the university's request and is something we've done in past years. We also accepted the governor's request to increment $4 million in general fund for fixed cost increases. And then in addition to that, we accepted an amendment to add an additional $4 million in general fund for fixed cost increases. And this additional $4 million was in line with the Board of Regents' request. Additionally, we accepted another amendment to add $3.75 million in general fund. This was for the UAA College of Health, and it was for mostly faculty and also medical equipment and technology support for programs both at UAA and UAS. And then the final major action we took was adding $635,900 to continue the Alaska Library Network, and this funding includes funding for the Alaska Library Catalog and the Statewide Library Electronic Doorway, or SLED, database. And then the University of Alaska subcommittee also had one major recommendation that was voted on, and this was to add an additional increment in future meetings of this full committee for finance of $7 million to support mariculture and fisheries program development.
Okay. Do we have any questions from the committee regarding the university? And just wanted to underscore the $7 million for mariculture. That is a recommendation to full finance, and so any member is free to propose an amendment when we come to that next Tuesday. So if we don't have any questions for the university, we'll go ahead and move on to the next set of reports. Thank you very much, Ms. Garrick. So next up, from Representative we still have one more, and that's with Mr. Representative Wohl's office. Mr. Alper will be presenting Department of Revenue.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Appreciate the opportunity. This is, for the record, Ken Alper, Staff to Representative Wohl and the Department of Revenue Subcommittee. The Department of Revenue Subcommittee met five times and passed a budget that dollar-wise is identical to the governor's request. There were no additions, although I'll get to a committee action that changed one thing. The total unrestricted general funds are $27,337,900. Designated general funds, $3,176,200. Other funds, $329,233,900. As an aside, Mr. Chairman, that's a very large number. The big other funds are really permanent fund management fees, the money used, paid out to manage the massive assets of the Permanent Fund Corporation. And federal funds, $82,550,000, for a total of $442,338,400. You know, the budget change from the adjusted base is an additional $941,300 unrestricted general funds, 3.6%, and then all funds increase $11,131,700. The bulk of the general fund increase is really about fund shifts, Mr. Chairman, management costs for a lot of the Treasury Division's funds that they manage, moving that to general fund in part because of the sweep issue that my office mate from the Department of Administration was talking about. If the money is not there to manage the funds, we need to put in general funds. The position count of the Department of Revenue is 870, of which 826 are permanent full-time. The department's budget for next year is nine additional people. Seven of them are full-time in the Permanent Fund Corporation per their request. That's five investment officers and two support staff, and then two part-time people in the Permanent Fund Dividend Division. Those are people who are scanning and sorting the mail from the people who are still filing paper applications for the dividend. They needed two seasonal people to assist with that work. The one change made in the subcommittee, and I guess, Mr. Chairman, I should point out, very unusual for the subcommittee process. We had an executive session on February 7th. That was constrained to the issue of dividend application security. The department wanted to bring to our attention some issues with hacks and so forth related to the security and some efforts they're undertaking to increase that security of the process and the applicant's data, Alaska's data, moving forward. And they had requested $2 million to implement that as an increment. We approved the $2 million, but the committee constrained it to a one-time increment. Given that the plan itself really isn't developed yet, we expect they will hire a contractor, do the work, start changing the application security process, and come back next year with a more refined number and a permanent increment for FY24. That is really the work of the Department of Revenue Subcommittee, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Do we have any questions for Department of Revenue Subcommittee? I see no questions, and so we'll go ahead and thank you very much, Mr. Alper. We'll move over. I hear the bells. Is that the 10-minute bell or the 5-minute bell? Probably about the now bell, I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, and I'm being beckoned by the speaker, so it's the now bell. Okay, so we will take in at ease at 2:56 p.m., and we'll come back after we come off the floor and resume subcommittees. We've only got a small handful, so we should be able to get through the rest today. So we'll be at ease at 2:56 p.m.
Okay, House Finance back on record at 5:39 p.m. on Wednesday, March 2nd, 2022. And we have a few more subcommittee closeouts to do. We are now moving on to Representative Josephson's subcommittees. And I'd like to invite up Catherine Reardon. And we're going to start off with the Department of Family and Community Services. And so, Ms. Reardon, if you could put yourself on the record.
Good evening. I'm Catherine Reardon, staff to Representative Andy Josephson. The House Finance Budget Subcommittee for the Department of Health and Social Services submits the House Finance to the House Finance Committee the following recommended FY23 operating budget for the proposed new Department of Family and Community Services. The subcommittee recommends a total funding level of $441,452,500 from these sources. Unrestricted general funds, $238,123,400. Designated general funds, $25,296,600. Other funds, $97,393,300. Federal funds, $80,639,200. The unrestricted general fund difference between FY23 adjusted base and the subcommittee recommendation is an increase of $14,992,600, which is 6.7%. The House Finance Budget Subcommittee for the Department of Health and Social Services reviewed the governor's FY23 budget request, including the governor's amendments. The structure of the governor's FY23 request matched Executive Order 121, dividing the existing Department of Health and Social Services into two departments, the Department of Family and Community Services and the Department of Health. Since budget structure is outside the purview of subcommittees, the actions of the subcommittee reflected in this memorandum and the attached reports address only the budget of the proposed Department of Family and Community Services. By following the structure of the governor's FY23 request, the subcommittee is not endorsing EO 121 or the division of the department. The subcommittee approved the governor's requested actions, except funding and positions in the departmental support services appropriation related to the implementation of Executive Order 121. The subcommittee modified the governor's request for authority to transfer $20 million between appropriations by reducing the authorized transfer to $10 million and requiring a year-end report of those transfers. In recent years, the full Department of Health and Social Services has had authorization to transfer $20 million between appropriations, and the subcommittee chose to allow $10 million in each of the new departments. The subcommittee added one increment, increasing funding for implementation of the Alaska Tribal Child Welfare Compact within the Office of Children's Services by $1,900,000 UGF. The major U.S. UGF additions in the adjusted base to the adjusted base budget that were requested by the governor and approved by the subcommittee were $7,053,000 UGF to inpatient mental health as required by the Disability Law Center settlement. There was funding in FY22 for the requirements of that settlement. In this budget, the governor requested putting it into the base, and the subcommittee agreed. Another significant governor's addition that was approved by the subcommittee was $1,400,000 UGF for tribal child welfare compacting. And finally, there's a $7,226,800 UGF package of increments proposed by the governor and approved by the subcommittee for actions that will intended to increase the ability of the Office of Children's Services to meet its mission. The governor submitted this package through amendments in February. It includes such things as increased funding for youth in foster care, as well as additional staff, training for that staff, supervision, and support to improve the effectiveness of frontline social workers. The turnover rate of OCS social workers is 60%, which diminishes the assistance given to children and struggling families who may have to work with inexperienced social workers or multiple caseworkers in a single year. Finally, the subcommittee makes the following recommendation to the House Finance Committee. The subcommittee recommends creating a new allocation, the Tribal Child Welfare Compact allocation, within the Department of Family and Community Services to reflect OCS funding for the purposes of that compact. And the reason for that recommendation is to allow visibility as tribal compacting develops, including the ability for the legislature to easily track authorized versus actual expenditures in reports that are related to tribal compacting. If EO 121 is rejected by the legislature, a budget structure change is recommended to return the Division of Behavioral Health to its FY22 structure by moving the designated evaluation and treatment allocation from inpatient mental health back to the behavioral health appropriation. Thank you very much.
Okay. Does the committee have any questions regarding the Departments of Family and Community Services? I see no questions. So, Ms. Reardon, we'll go ahead and move over to the Department of Health.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The House Finance Budget Subcommittee for the Department of Health and Social Services submits to the House Finance Committee the following recommended FY23 operating budget for the proposed new Department of Health. Total funds equaling $3,066,616,700 from the sources listed on the page, which I can read if you'd like, or if not, you can read them.
I think we're okay. Thank you.
The unrestricted general fund difference between FY23 adjusted base and the subcommittee recommendation is an increase of $63,648,300, which is 7.4%. I would like to point out that a major element of the increase over the adjusted base within the governor's request is $45 million UGF for the Medicaid match. In FY22, state funding for Medicaid was reduced by $35 million, a reduction which was achieved through the temporary COVID emergency reduction in required state match. The 6.2% increase in the federal government share through the FMAP due to the public health emergency is scheduled at this point to expire at the end of June 2022. So it's anticipated that for the full FY23 we'll be back to the usual Medicaid match, which will require additional funding. Moving into FY23, the department has projected a $72 million UGF shortfall. So this $45 million UGF request of the governor's restores the $35 million decrement of FY22 and adds another $10 million, but it anticipates $27 million of savings through several savings initiatives and the redetermination of existing Medicaid enrollees. I point this out because if the $27 million of savings is not realized or reduction is not realized, I would anticipate a supplemental request next year. Okay, the subcommittee made technical corrections, then approved the governor's requested budget actions with the following exceptions. The subcommittee again denied funding and positions related to the implementation of the executive order. The subcommittee in this budget did also pass an amendment providing $500,000 to the commissioner's office for a contract study into efficiencies or reorganizations that could achieve benefits if the EO does not take effect. The subcommittee again modified the governor's request for authority to transfer $20 million between appropriations by reducing the authorized transfer to $10 million and also adding language to prohibit transfers out of the Medicaid services appropriation and requiring a year-end report of those transfers. That prohibition against transferring out of Medicaid services was also included in the FY22 budget. It's a fairly traditional item to have in that transfer language. The subcommittee denied budget action, reducing funding for behavioral health treatment and recovery grants, and denied budget action item to reduce funding for public assistance staff computers due to the subcommittee amendment increasing the number of eligibility technician positions, which I will reference later. The subcommittee made the following additions to the governor's request. Behavioral health grants of two types, prevention early intervention grants and treatment and recovery grants, were increased by 20% after fairly flat funding for a number of years because they'd heard from a variety of stakeholders, including Behavioral Health Association and the Alaska Native Health Board, about that need. The subcommittee added eligibility technician positions to public assistance to reduce processing delays. In the FY22 budget process, the legislature approved 50% of the governor's proposed reduction of 101 positions. The governor vetoed the others, and it was the impression of the subcommittee that the result has been a backlog in processing applications for benefits because some of the technological updates that were supposed to assist did not come online quickly enough, and also there was a computer hack problem. In public health, the subcommittee included an increment for hiring bonuses and moving expenses to assist with the filling of public health nursing positions, in which there have been a large number of vacancies for an unacceptably long time. In the public health, there's also a public health specialist position that has been added by the subcommittee, one position to prepare a state plan that will hopefully allow the state to access federal BOLD Act funding for dementia programs. That's a cost of $120,000 UGF. Within Seniors and Disability Services appropriation, there were several amendments. One, to increase community-based grants by approximately $1.4 million, with the money to be shared between senior services grantees and the Centers for Independent Living. The subcommittee heard from AgeNet, AARP, Council on Aging, and Centers for Independent Living about the need for that increment. Also within Senior and Disability Services, there's an increase to the daily rate for general relief, temporary assisted living. The rate has been $70 a day since July 1, 2002, and this increment will allow the daily rate to increase with the inflation over that time period to a daily rate of $104.30. The subcommittee adopted intent for the department to develop a plan with stakeholders to eliminate the intellectual and developmental disabilities waiver wait list, a plan, a five-year plan, and this was a request from the Key Coalition. In the Medicaid appropriation, the subcommittee included the funds to draw an additional 20 disabled Alaskans off of the lengthy wait list for services through the intellectual and developmental disabilities waiver system. A similar increment was passed by the legislature for FY22, and it did result in 70 rather than 50 individuals being pulled off of the 600-person wait list. Finally, or almost finally, the subcommittee added what's fairly standard language directing the department to produce the annual MUG for the Medicaid Unrestricted General Fund Obligation Report halfway through the year so that the legislature can benefit from knowing what the Medicaid spend looks like when you arrive for session in January. That is a summary and report of the subcommittee action.
Okay, does the committee have any questions on the Department of Health? Okay, thank you for your presentation on that, Ms. Reardon. And I think your last one here then. We'll move on to the judiciary, if you'd like to go ahead and start us off.
Mr. Chair, thank you. Going from perhaps the one of the more complicated to the one of the shorter department reports. The House Finance Budget Subcommittee for the Judiciary submits the following recommended operating budget for FY23 to the House Finance Committee. A total budget of $124,152,300 coming from the fund sources listed on the first page of the narrative. The unrestricted general fund difference from FY23 adjusted base to the House subcommittee budget is an increase of $3,278,500, which is a 2.8% increase. The House subcommittee converted one part-time therapeutic court probation officer to full-time as requested by the judiciary and reflected in the governor's request, and that was the only change in positions. The subcommittee did not make any amendments of its own. It accepted the budget presented by the governor on behalf of the judicial branch. The significant changes from adjusted base consisted of $1,195,100 to return workers to a 37.5-hour work week from 36 hours. In FY17, the court system reduced its regular work week for non-judge positions to 36 hours and reduced their salaries by 4% at that time and reduced Friday customer service counter hours in an attempt to reduce its budget in a time of a great state budget stress. In FY23, a number of those positions need to go back to 37.5 hours due to a work backlog and demand for increased customer service hours. The court system did not propose returning all of the employees to full time, but to return those who are needed and willing. So it's not a full funding request. Then there is a $1,241,800 UGF request for the annual software subscriptions that are necessary to protect the court system's network and prevent another cybersecurity attack similar to the one they had in FY21, and to allow more efficient sharing of trial evidence through an online database. There was $136,500 increment in the governor's request added to therapeutic courts to cover increased costs for treatment services in Palmer, Kenai, and Anchorage, and to fully fund the probation officer I referred to, as well as testing and treatment in Bethel. And finally, there was $661,500 UGF added for increased costs of facility leases, utilities, maintenance, and security costs at the court system's 40 facilities around the state. This is basically an inflation factor. Their contracts are increasing in cost. Thank you very much. That is the subcommittee report.
Okay, do we have any questions for the judiciary? I see no questions, so thank you very much, Ms. Reardon. We'll next move over to Department of Law, which is Ms. Soren Burke. If you could put yourself on the record.
Elise Sornberg, Staff to Representative Josephson.
Good evening, Chair Foster and members of the committee. The House Finance Budget Subcommittee for the Department of Law recommends an operating budget totaling $98,800,800. Of this, $60,626,500 is UGF, $2,746,700 is DGF. Other funds make up $32,651,400. The difference in UGF from FY23 adjusted base to the House Subcommittee budget recommendation is an increase of $4,478,900, which is 4.8% above the FY23 adjusted base budget. Note that $3,400,000 of this UGF increase recommended is a one-time increment for FY23 and is not built into the adjusted base budget. Department of Law budget includes 551 positions, all permanent full-time. Moving on to budget actions taken by the committee. The House Finance Budget Subcommittee for the Department of Law reviewed the Governor's FY2023 request and accepted all 8 operating budget items from the Governor for a total increase in 897,100 UGF. All of these actions, 6 dealt with fully funding the positions added in FY2022 to help with prosecutions of sexual assault cases, which were funded at 75% in the FY22 budget. One item was a deletion of a project manager position, which the department had no longer needed. And one item was a technical change relating to the naming structure of the civil division. The subcommittee also voted to adopt 4 budget amendments. To provide context for these amendments, all of them deal with the retention and recruitment challenges faced by the department. The subcommittee noted that the Department of Law attorneys were partially exempt and their salaries have not been adjusted since 2015. The subcommittee also heard departmental emphasis on the inability to recruit and retain quality legal professionals across the board. Amendments 1 and 2, adopted by the subcommittee, each added $100,000 in UGF for recruitment and retention efforts, $100,000 to the civil division, $100,000 to the criminal division. Amendments 3 and 4 were each one-time increments of $1,700,000 UGF, again, each to the civil division and criminal division, for providing retention bonuses to division staff for a total of $3,400,000. Note that bonuses were not provided to division directors, deputy attorney generals, or to the administrative services division. The House Finance Subcommittee Chair also made 2 recommendations on items outside the direct purview of the subcommittee. The first relates to an FY22 supplemental judgments and settlements item, and I believe this may have actually already been addressed at this point. It's specific to the appropriation of $495,000 needed to pay the settlement costs in the Blandford versus Dunleavy case. The subcommittee heard some conflicting legal analyses of how and whether those expenses should be paid, and it's a unique case. The recommendation was to encourage the House Finance Committee to seek legal guidance from legislative legal as to whether there are ramifications of the legislature funding this, and I believe that may have already been done. The second recommendation of the subcommittee chair was to reject the proposed multi-year $4 million appropriation, which is in the language section of the operating bill and is to support statehood defense. Based on what the subcommittee heard, it seemed that the department was not in need of additional money before the end of FY23. The $4 million multi-year appropriation item from last year should be expended in whole before more money is appropriated to this cause. Thank you.
And Ms. Sorum Burke, just to make sure it's correct on the record, did you say the total, grand total on the budget for law? If you could just repeat that.
$98,080,800, excuse me.
Great,
I
thank
you. I said 800,000 earlier.
And the total number of positions you said was how many?
550.
Great, thank you. Do we have any further questions of the committee? I see no questions, so thank you very much, Ms. Sorenberg. And I think that next takes us to the last two of the reports that we have. And so I would invite up Mr. Ramon Henderson, and we'll jump right into governor and then legislature.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Ramon Henderson. I'm the staff to Representative Foster. The House Finance Budget Subcommittee for the Office of the Governor submits the following recommended operating budget for FY23 to the House Finance Committee. Total funding of $33,324,300, of which is comprised of $29,393,200 of unrestricted general funds, $3,703,300 of other funds, and $227,800 of federal funds. This represents a 2% increase above the FY23 adjusted base, which is an increase of $587,800. There are 177 total positions, 155 permanent full-time, and 22 temporary. House Finance Budget Subcommittee for the Office of the Governor reviewed the governor's request and accepted all of the budget items except the following. Denied the governor's request to convert the central services cost allocation rate smoothing appropriation in the language section and instead put this into the numbers section to ensure to alleviate the reliance on lapsing funds. The increase of $587,800 in general funds, two major items, $390,000 to align state election poll workers, the hourly rate for those workers by $3, increasing it $3, and then $155,000 for a homeless coordinator for the Safety Initiative homeless program. That concludes this report.
Okay, any questions for Office of the Governor? Seeing no questions, we'll now move over to the legislature. Mr. Henderson.
The House Finance Budget Subcommittee for the Legislature submits the following recommended operating budget for FY23 to the House Finance Committee. Total budget of $69,673,700, comprised of $68,934,000 of UGF, $344,900 of designated general funds, and $394,800 of other funds. Total, that's an increase of $2,231,000, which is a 3.3% increase above the FY23 adjusted base. And that primarily is comprised of $2 million approximately for legislative per diem. The total positions, 576, 267 permanent full-time positions, 281 permanent part-time positions, and 28 temporary positions. Budget action items. The House Finance Subcommittee for the Legislature reviewed the FY23 governor's budget request, including amendments, and recommends the following actions. Deny the Office of the Governor's increment of $935,200 for performance reviews. These are required by statute, but performance reviews are no longer being performed, so this is a increment that is denied each year. Next year will be the last year that the this request will be made. We accepted all of the other Office of the Governor budget proposals, and we accepted one amendment as proposed by the Legislative Council with the following components. Established a new integrated technology services allocation, transferring positions from the administrative services allocation and funding from various allocations. Established a new security services allocation, transferring positions from the session expenses allocation and funding from the legislative operating budget. and we approved a $100,000 UGF increment in the office of the Ombudsman's Office. That concludes the report for this legislative budget.
And do we have any questions on the legislature? Would anybody like to go through any of the other ones that we've gone through already? It's getting late. I'm joking.
That's a loaded question.
Yeah. Okay. It's been a long day, and I think we have no questions. So all the subcommittee reports have come before this finance committee. And so what will happen is the desire was to have all of these rolled into a CS for tomorrow, but due to the late hour, it's possible that this might be a CS would be rolled out Friday morning. So just to keep everyone in the loop, I think that's all I've got. If there are no further questions, our next meeting is scheduled for tomorrow at 9 a.m. And at that meeting, Co-Chair Merrick will be hearing House Bill 158 regarding PFD contributions to the general fund, House Bill 246 regarding access to marijuana conviction records, and House Bill 287 regarding oil and gas tax credit appropriations. So with that, we will be adjourned at 6:10 p.m. Thank you.